This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here comes Fred.
Hey, now we can start.
And actually,
that never happened.
On this occasion, he's been waiting for us. So,
oh, I doubt that. I doubt that very seriously.
At least to punch the button anyway. It's our pleasure to welcome back to your home for Bulls basketball for the full season this time around, the Score Sports Radio 670. Getting ready for year number four as head coach, Fred Hoiberg is with us. Hello, Fred. How are you?
Good. What's happening, guys?
Everything is good on our end. You got some new toys since you last saw your basketball team. What is what of the three new pieces, if we want to call them three new pieces, is getting you better rest at night as you get ready for this season?
Well, I'm actually excited about all three of those guys. You know, I'll start with the two rookies. You know, I was really impressed with the way that they came in with their approach in our three-day mini camp in Chicago before we went out to the Summer League in Vegas. And I'll tell you what, with Wendell Carter, you know, you just look at the things that he did out there. I know it's only a five-game small sample size, but what he was able to do, you know, first of all, defensively, he's got unbelievable instincts. On that end, you know, we really experimented this offseason and studied a lot of different teams with the way that they played. And with the switching defense becoming so prevalent in the league right now, we really wanted to take a good look at that and see how our guys responded to it, how they handled it, how they could handle an adjustment in game. And, you know, that first game we played Cleveland and we were playing against Colin Sexton, who was probably the fastest player in the draft this year. And we switched off Wendell 1 through 5. Onto him on multiple occasions. And I thought he did a tremendous job of moving his feet. If he did go by him, he pursued the ball. He had 5 blocks that first game, including, you know, what I thought was his best play in the summer league, the 2-hand pin against the backboard that started a break. And he's just got such a knack and such a feel on that end of the floor. You know, when he blocks shots, he's really mastered the art of verticality. And when he blocks a shot, he keeps it in play. So many players now, they want to get on Sports Center or whatever it is by throwing the ball into the third row. But, you know, by him being able to understand that we can fuel our break by getting the block and keeping it in play. And he's done a tremendous job of that, not only at Duke, but, you know, in his first 5 games here in the summer league. You know, also his versatility offensively to be able to step out. He had 3 threes, hit 2 corner threes that first game, hit a trail 3, I believe, 2 games later. And he's got moves in the post, and he's got great footwork. So we're really excited about him as a 19-year-old, 6'11", you know, 7'4.5 wingspan. I think he's really got a tremendous future. Hutchison was excellent. I thought he was our best player in the mini camp that we had. He's really a dynamic open floor player, and he showed that on a couple of occasions out in the summer league. Another guy that's got good instincts on the defensive end. I think he's a guy that will ultimately play both forward positions, and you know, I think he's got a chance to become a good shooter. We need to work on his release, try to get it a little bit quicker, but that'll come as he gets more comfortable with the new NBA line. And then I couldn't be more excited about Jabari. He's a proven scorer in this league. You look at the numbers that he was putting up before he was injured that second time, averaging over 20 points. That season he was shooting 36-5 from the three, very good rebounder. And then again this year after he came back from the rehab, you know, he shot his best percentage from the three-point line of his career. So you just look at how he's evolved as a player, and he's really improved on his range. He shot over 38% from three last year. After he came back from the injury, and you know, I'm excited about him. Another guy that I think is a versatile player that can play both forward positions, and a great athlete that can play, our desired style, which is getting up and down the floor.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you. I want to go back a second because one of the things that you know, Fred, with the intense coverage of the NBA draft, everything NBA gets an intense coverage these days. And when you look around and you read what people say about Carter, and one of the things, just listening to you talk about it, and one of the things that people have sort of said in many places I've seen is that there's some limit to what he can do. That, yeah, he was drafted where he was because of this. I mean, are there limits to what he can do? Do you see that? Is there something that I'm missing here I mean, I hate yeah, the kid's still just that. He's just a kid. And yet it's like, well, yeah, it's a good safe pick for the Bulls, but he's really not going to be what everybody thinks he should be, or he's not going to be the greatest player ever. He's just going to – does he have that kind of potential to get past that idea that, yeah, it's a good safe pick and he'll be okay, but he won't be more than that?
Well, I think he's got great potential. I just look at what happened with his career at Duke. You know, he signed early, and, you know, when they got Bagley, once he reclassified and joined that class, you know, I thought Wendell did a terrific job. He wasn't the go-to guy, but when you look at the plays that he made, they ran a lot of high-low action last year, and he was up at the top of the floor making passes, making plays, and that's one thing that we really liked about him. And he showed that, again, these couple weeks that we've had him so far, is his ability to play in the pocket. And that's such an important thing with a modern-day big, is to be able to make plays in the pocket area based on how the defense is playing with their pick-and-roll coverage. And he makes simple, easy plays. A lot of times they don't show up in the box score. He you know, a lot of times caused a two-on-one on the backside with a slot in the corner filled where we got an open corner three. He's just got a great understanding of the game, and that's the thing that impressed me. And when you have a player that can think the game like that and have the physical tools that he has, I think the kid's got a lot of upside.
Just joining us, Bulls head coach Fred Hoiberg with us with McNeil and Boers on Sports Radio 670. There was a news conference earlier today at the United Center where the Bulls let everybody meet Jabari Parker, his parents. And shortly after that news conference concluded, Jabari called the score and was interviewed by Dan Bernstein and Connor McKnight. Fred, I want you to hear just a short chunk of that conversation and pick up your reaction. This is earlier today, Jabari Parker on the score.
Well, I don't know. I just stick to my strengths, you know, like, look at everybody in the league. They don't pay players to play defense. You know, there's only two people historically to play defense. You know, I'm not going to say that I won't, but to say that's a weakness is like saying that's everybody's weakness, because I scored 30s and 20s on a lot of guys who say they play defense. I mean, if you know the game, you also know that everyone's a pro, right?
Yeah.
And you know that certain guys have an average. No matter what you do, they still get that average. So they pay people to score the ball, and I will hope that somebody scores the ball on me if they pay them that much. So I'm not saying that's a cop-out or nothing, but, you know, it's the NBA. The professionals, everybody scores just amount of limiting them as much as you can, trying to contain them. James Harden, the MVP, like, a bad night for him is 25, you know, especially somebody that has the ball in their hands and that's so decisive. You just got to respect them, try to contain them as much as you can, but, you know, a better offense wins the championship.
That's Jabari Parker earlier today. Fred, does any of that bother you?
Well, we need to get better across the board, and, you know, a big part of that is defensively. And, you know, we need, you know, for us, again, we've been studying a lot of different tendencies and a lot of different things. And, you know, one thing that I think will be good for the roster the way it is, and I think Jabari as well, will be some of the things that we did look at with our switching in the summer league, and we'll carry some of that over once everybody gets back in September and then once we roll into training camp. So, you know, the biggest thing for us, we need to put a defensive system in play that gives our players the best chance of having a chance to win the game. And, you know, we're going to have buy-in from everybody on that end. We put a tremendous amount of work in on that end of the floor. We obviously do drills like all teams do every day to try to get to a point where you give yourself a chance. Now, you know, he brings up points where a good offense a lot of times does beat a good defense. But, you know, the important thing is you try to make it as difficult as possible. We need to do a better job of, for us, creating shots on the floor, which are low percentage shots, which is in the mid-range. We gave up too many threes last year. We also gave up too many plays at the rim. I think with the makeup of our group right now, you know, there's no reason we shouldn't take a jump in that area. We've got a guy that we feel can protect the rim, you know, as well as anybody in this last draft class in Wendell. And then with the players that we have on the perimeter, and, you know, again, we're going to play Jabari at both forward spots. You know, he's going to be playing against multi-skilled players. We have to do a great job of trying to make teams take those tough contested twos, knowing at times they're going to make those. But again, just the different schemes that we've looked at, we feel will help the makeup of our roster.
I think many people, when they heard those comments earlier today or just heard them, I think what they find off-putting, and I'll speak for myself on this, Fred, is Jabari doesn't sound like he has a will to even be interested in working on his defense. He likes to stick to his strengths. And what I interpret from that is the hell with my weaknesses. I am what I am. You ever had a player, you know, in your 3 years previously here talk like that?
Well, we're going to work on it. We're going to work on it a lot. And, you know, that's going to be team-wide. We're going to have to, again, make big improvements in that area if we have any chance of having a successful season. And listen, you look at the players that we've got right now, you know, again, look at Jabari's physical tools. You know, he's a big, strong, athletic player that we feel can guard multiple positions. So we're going to work hard on it, guys. And again, that's an area that we need to improve.
I think a lot of Bulls fans are probably rooting for that. And I, you know, during your tenure here, it has been, I mean, just being you these days and during the entire course of being the Bulls coach has not been easy for you. I mean, this has not gone probably the way you wanted it to go or anybody else wanted it to go. Been very difficult. I think if people look and say, can this team succeed, Fred? Can you? I mean, because a lot of people, it always falls on the coach. You know that. It's always the coach's fault. So when you look at this team, can this be the start of a turnaround? Do you feel confident in your heart of hearts that this is going to be the start of a turnaround for this team and organization?
Well, we certainly hope so. We're gonna work and do everything we can to put our players in a position to utilize their skill sets and hopefully put ourselves in a position to win. And, you know, I look at last year's group and, you know, we were really coming on. Had obviously the incident in training camp and got off to a very poor start. Once we got everybody back and got everybody on the same page, you know, we were playing as well as anybody in the Eastern Conference. We had the second best record in the league in December and into January. And Zach was just coming back in his role. He played three games with a full group where we won two of them against Miami and Detroit. And then unfortunately Chris Dunn goes down against Golden State as we were making tremendous progress, and that shifted everybody's role and, you know, forced Zach into a backup point guard role as well as playing the shooting guard as his minutes were ramping up. So, you know, I am confident because of the fact that we have, you know, a full summer with Zach as opposed to working on his knee and his rehab. We have him coming in with a full off season and, you know, getting him more on board, understanding the system. The thing I'm excited about is we have continuity with our players, with the roster this year. You know, we've had pretty much a different team, in the previous three. So, you know, again, it's about going out there and trying to build the right habits and getting those to carry over once the games start in October. But, yeah, we're confident that we can, you know, get these guys going. And, you know, I think we'll be an exciting team that can get the ball up the floor and play with great pace. You know, we certainly have the athletes and the youth to do that.
4 or 5 weeks ago, John Paxson was with us on the show, and I got him to talking about summer conditioning, and you know how Pax treated it in those 90s Bulls, and I'm sure you did a little bit after them. Live in the weight room and stick around year-round, and there's not really a whole heck of a lot you can do to request that, or require that, I should say, of your players. Have you thought of a way to... And you can't pay them, but somehow incentivize them to stick around in the summer so you can keep an eye on their workouts and keep them working together?
Well, you're right. You can't force them. It's, you know, it's got to be voluntary for them to be in here. But I'll say this. We will have 10 of our players back next week. And, you know, we have had guys over the course of the summer that have been here. You know, we've seen strides in our players. You know, development is a big part of what we're trying to do, a very important thing with the young group. We felt last year of all of our players, you know, all but one of them had career years, you know, as far as their point average. So, you know, we do feel like, you know, by them sticking around that we are making progress with our players as far as the development is concerned, and it's important. It's a great time. You know, I remember looking back on my years, the teams where we had chemistry, especially in the summers, you know, those were the teams that were the winning teams that had a chance at the end when it matters most in the playoffs. So, yeah, it's important. But, you know, we have had a lot of players that have bought into that have been here. And, you know, now that we've got these players signed and under contract, you know, we expect to have more of them here these last 2 months before training camp starts.
And I would think, just as we let you go, Fred, that it would be good for your soul as well. I mean, I think in any coach that I've met in my life, I covered a lot of basketball over the years, and any coach, you're all the same. You're all crazy. And you do this, and yet, I mean, when the results aren't there, you're just killing yourself over this for them. I don't know if you're one of those guys that kills yourself over it, but, I mean, it's just one of those things with this sport and this game and how it goes. And I just wonder, how have you held up? I mean, are you okay with all this, that everything's been said and written about you and all the other stuff that's going on?
Well, you do. You live and die with this stuff. It's, you know, we're all competitors in this position. You know, I was able to carve out 10 years in the league. Would have been longer had I not had my health issue at the end. And, you know, we want to do obviously the best that we possibly can, you know, to put a successful product out there. And, you know, you look back on the different groups that you had and, you know, that first team, you know, we just with so many different things that went on. You know, it was a disappointing year. We just weren't consistent enough and did not get in the playoffs. That second year, you know, I felt we did a really good job at the end to put ourselves in a position to get into the playoffs, and obviously got off to a great start before we lost Rondo with the broken thumb. So, you know, we've had the moments. Now we got to make it consistent all the way through for 82 games, and hopefully you're playing and put yourself in a position to play in the postseason. But yeah, you do. You beat yourself up every day, and you try to do the best job you can as far as putting your team in a position to be successful. The tough times, you lean on your family. That's the important thing. I've got a great support system. And that's what you have to do when you're going through those tough moments. But, the biggest thing is you put in your work and you try to do the best job you can, and that's certainly what we're doing now.
Well, here's hoping those yep. moments are diminished next season. Fred, enjoy the rest of your summer. Thanks for the time today.
Okay, thank you, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.